Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are taking a deep dive into neurodiversity in tech.
Oh yeah, this should be a good one.
We got some really interesting articles lined up from Forbes, the Microsoft Community Hub, even a coding bootcamp blog.
Sounds like we've got a lot to cover.
We do. So get ready to discover just how much neurodiversity is impacting the tech world, and maybe even challenge some of your own assumptions along the way.
I'm all for challenging assumptions.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's make sure we're all on the same page about what neurodiversity actually is. It's a term that gets tossed around a lot, but can be easily misunderstood.
You're right. It's more than just a buzzword.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how would you define neurodiversity?
Well, the Microsoft article actually has a really good quote from Bram van den Klinkenberg. He says, neurodiversity is recognizing, acknowledging that people have differences in how their brain functions and that that difference is not a defect.
I like that, recognizing that everyone's brain works a little differently.
Yeah, and that those differences aren't bad.
They're just different.
Right. It's about appreciating the full spectrum of how people think and process information, not judging them against some arbitrary standard.
So it's less about deficits and more about different operating systems.
Exactly. And those different operating systems, they can be a huge asset in a field like tech.
Definitely. We hear a lot about neurodivergent individuals having these sort of cognitive superpowers, like out-of-the-box thinking, laser-focused problem-solving skills that others might not have.
It's true. Like in the Forbes article, they talk about how autistic individuals, they often excel at things like concentration logic, visual thinking, all of which are super valuable in tech, especially in areas like coding and data analysis.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. And they also talked about how dyslexic individuals can be amazing at seeing the big picture and thinking about all sorts of different possibilities, which is so important in such a fast-paced industry like tech.
Absolutely. Always got to be ahead of the curve, right?
Right. It's funny how something that might be seen as a challenge in one context, it can actually be a strength in another.
Oh, totally. Like, think about Ingvar Kamprad, the founder of IKEA. He had dyslexia, and that's actually what led him to use those Swedish names for all of IKEA's products instead of, like, numerical codes.
You're kidding.
Nope. It was a creative solution that came directly from his neurodiversity, and it ended up becoming, like, a hallmark of the IKEA brand.
Wow, that's a great example of turning what some might see as a weakness into a strength.
Exactly. It makes you wonder how many more of those kinds of aha moments are out there just waiting to be discovered when we embrace different ways of thinking.
And it's not just about individuals succeeding either. The article suggests that companies that actually encourage neurodiversity, they often end up with more innovative and dynamic teams overall. Makes sense.
Yeah.
When you have a variety of perspectives, you're more likely to come up with new and better solutions.
For sure. It's all about creating a culture where everyone feels comfortable bringing their unique skills and ideas to the table.
Absolutely. But let's be real for a second. While there are definite advantages, there are also some challenges that neurodivergent individuals face in the tech world.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, absolutely. The tech environment itself can be really challenging for some people. For example, someone who's sensitive to sensory overload might find the whole open office setup with all the noise and distractions really overwhelming.
I can see that.
And that can obviously impact their focus and productivity. We need to acknowledge these challenges and really think about how to make workplaces more inclusive.
I agree. It's like we're trying to force everyone to fit into the same mold, when in reality, we need to design spaces with neurodiversity in mind so that everyone can thrive.
Exactly. One size fits all just doesn't work when it comes to neurodiversity.
Yeah, it's like we're trying to fit square pegs into round holes, expecting everyone to thrive in the same environment.
Yeah.
But when we actually design spaces with neurodiversity in mind,
everyone benefits.
Everyone benefits, exactly.
Yeah.
The Microsoft article also mentions communication styles as a potential area where neurodivergent individuals might face some challenges.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, it's pretty common for people who are neurodivergent to communicate a bit differently. Like, they might be very direct or take things literally, and that can lead to misunderstandings in a workplace where a lot of communication is unspoken or relies on subtle cues.
Yeah, I could see that.
Michael John Pena, who's featured in the article, he brings up a really good point about how people with ADHD are often mislabeled as lazy or scattered.
Oh, I've heard that stereotype so many times.
It's so common, but Pena actually argues that what might look like scatteredness to some people can actually be a form of hyperfocus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's about recognizing that different brains just process information and approach tasks in different ways.
So instead of just labeling certain behaviors as wrong or unprofessional,
mm-hmm.
we need to try to understand why those behaviors are happening and figure out how to accommodate different styles.
Exactly. Meet people where they are.
Right. The Microsoft article also gives some good advice for neurodivergent individuals who are dealing with these challenges. What are some of the tips that stood out to you?
Well, one of the biggest things they emphasize is the importance of self-advocacy, being open about your neurodiversity and letting your managers and colleagues know what you need to succeed.
That makes a lot of sense, but it also requires workplaces to be receptive and supportive of those needs.
Absolutely. It's a two-way street. That's where finding allies and building a strong community can make such a difference.
It's so important to have people who understand and support you, especially when you're navigating a world that wasn't really designed for you.
I completely agree. Lorian Strant, who's another person featured in the Microsoft article, he puts it really well. He says, "By not hiding myself from others, I'm able to be more clear with how things affect me."
It's about creating a space where you can be yourself authentically without fear of judgment.
Right, and where you feel comfortable asking for what you need. But it's not just about finding support from other people.
It's also about utilizing technology to empower neurodivergent individuals.
Exactly. We're seeing all sorts of cool new technologies being developed that are specifically designed to support neurodiversity.
Like what kinds of things?
Well, there are digital screening tools that can help with early diagnosis and intervention, and AI-powered platforms that can help with assessments and personalized treatment plans.
Wow. That's incredible, especially for those who have struggled to get a diagnosis or find the right support.
It can be life-changing. And then you have things like VR therapy and specialized games that can be really helpful, too. The Forbes article talks about this fascinating project by Dr. Dennis Wall, who developed a game called Guess What for Autistic Children.
Tell me more about that.
So the game uses AI to analyze the child's behavior and interactions, and it creates a personalized learning experience based on that data.
That's amazing. So technology is helping us both to better understand neurodiversity and to give individuals the tools and resources they need to thrive.
That's the goal. We've talked a lot about the challenges neurodivergent individuals face in the tech world, but I think it's important to highlight the positives, too.
Absolutely. What can you tell us about that?
The Flatiron School article we have does a great job of sharing the personal stories of neurodivergent folks who are actually out there rocking it in tech careers. It's really inspiring.
It's always encouraging to hear those firsthand accounts. What are some of the highlights from those stories?
One of the people they feature, Louis Casanave, who's a data analyst, he talks about how neurodivergent people often have these really intense passions or special interests.
Oh, I've definitely heard that before.
And when they can find a way to align those interests with their work, it can be incredibly powerful. Like they tap into this flow state where they're totally in the zone and just crushing it.
I can totally relate to that.
Yeah.
When you're genuinely excited about what you're doing, it makes all the difference.
For sure. And another person they interview, Sasha Kala, who's an infrastructure engineer, she brings up a really interesting point. She says that for her, the tech industry is a place where she can meet both her financial needs and her need for community.
So it's providing that sense of belonging and acceptance.
Exactly. And that's something that a lot of neurodivergent people crave. They want to feel like they're part of something and that their contributions are valued. It seems like the tech industry is starting to get that.
Which is a good sign.
Yeah.
It suggests that companies are realizing that neurodiversity isn't just about boosting innovation, but also about creating a more welcoming and inclusive work environment for everyone. It really does seem like things are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, it's encouraging.
But we obviously still have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So as we wrap up this deep dive on neurodiversity in tech, what are some key takeaways our listeners should remember?
I think the biggest thing to remember is that neurodiversity isn't a trend or a fad. It's about recognizing the inherent value of different ways of thinking and building systems that support those differences.
And not just in tech, right?
Exactly. This applies to every aspect of society.
So it's really about shifting our mindset away from seeing neurodiversity as something to be fixed or overcome.
Right. We need to embrace it as a source of strength and innovation.
And to do that, we have to be willing to challenge our assumptions about what's considered normal or successful.
Totally. I mean, think about all the amazing things that neurodivergent individuals are already accomplishing in the tech world. The stories we've talked about today are just a small glimpse of what's possible.
And it makes you wonder, what could happen if we could extend that kind of inclusivity to other fields as well?
It's a really interesting question that the Microsoft article brought up. If neurodiversity can lead to such unique problem solving in tech, what other industries could benefit from embracing different ways of thinking?
It's a great question, and it really challenges us to think about how we can create more inclusive spaces everywhere, not just in tech.
Exactly. Like, what if we reimagined workplaces and learning environments so that everyone could feel comfortable and empowered to contribute their unique talents?
Imagine the breakthroughs we could see if that happened.
It's exciting to think about.
It really is. We've only scratched the surface of this topic today, but I hope this deep dive has given you some new insights and encouraged you to think differently about neurodiversity.
Yeah, we definitely encourage you to check out the source material for yourselves and keep exploring this important topic.
And as always, let us know what you think. What resonated with you most? What questions did this conversation bring up for you? We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Until next time, keep diving deep.
Bye, everyone.